B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to The Owl's Nest. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to another episode of The Owl's Nest. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Landis, joined by Jake Lyon. Jake, how's it going, man?
Good. I'm excited for this week's show.
Yeah, we got an interesting show. We're doing something new here, but before we jump into that, I want to encourage anyone who's watching, if you like the show, make sure that you are subscribing to the channel. Turn on that little bell notification so that you can be alerted anytime that a new show pops up here, whether it's us or any of the other wealth of content that we do here at Checkpoint XP. So, first thing we're going to jump into here is we've decided to actually reach out to you guys, the fans of our shows, the Overwatch fans, and see what maybe you want us to talk about. So this first segment we're doing here today is going to be a fan Q&A. On Twitter, we put out the call for anyone who has any questions that they have, you know, anything that they want our particular opinions on, to let us know what you'd like us to answer. And you guys came out in full force. We got a bunch of great questions here. And just going by the amount of feedback that we got or the questions that we got here, this is probably going to be a reoccurring segment on the show. So to start us off, Volkai says, I fell off Overwatch halfway through the first season of OWL and never played more than casually. Should I even bother trying to get current with the meta and the updated gameplay? And the short answer to that is yes, absolutely. There's never a bad time to get into Overwatch. But for the longer answer, why don't we throw it over to Jake, since that's his specialty.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great question because probably a lot of people find themselves in this situation. I think probably the first thing I would say is just that, like, a lot of the new heroes that have been added in Overwatch are, like, amazingly cool and more interesting and deep than the characters that were existing at launch or at that time that you're saying you stopped playing. So those new heroes like Doomfist and Hammond and Echo have all, like, really shaken up the game, and I think they're all super fun and interesting to play. So in my mind, those heroes alone are, like, worth trying out. The biggest thing is just, you know, accept that you'll probably have fallen behind. So don't think, oh, I need to be at this certain skill level. Like, just play for fun. And if you enjoy it, you get back into it, then you can get back into the grind easily. But as long as you don't have high expectations of yourself, you can let yourself, you know, if you take a lot of time off a game, you're never going to be at your same skill level until you put the practice in again.
All right, Sanders asking, do you guys have any idea how homestands and tournaments work next year? You know, Jake, you had actually brought up something that I hadn't even really thought about when it came to the way that they had decided to do sort of the regular season stuff with the addition of homestands. You know, when it comes to tournament formats, you have no idea necessarily who's going to end up in the finals, and it's hard to decide if, you know, how homestands fit into that when you have, you know, different teams traveling to different cities all the time. And, I don't know, and honestly, I don't even know that the Overwatch League at this point knows how, you know, at this point to put the tournament settings into the homestands, but I do think that next year, you know, once we get out of the COVID situation here, that homestands have obviously, you know, were extremely successful, and tournaments, as we've seen now, are also extremely successful. So, you know, Jake, what do you think the strengths of trying to pursue both homestands and tournaments are going to be?
Well, first, I have to say that I'm speaking as just like a fan of the Overwatch League, and I don't really like, it's not my decision. I'm not even in those conversations of like the organizational structure of the league. That's above my pay grade, frankly. But in my mind, I agree. Tournaments have been really successful. Maybe there's a middle ground where you do both. Like, there's some online play, some homestands. I don't know if they'll even. I mean, I guess there's also a question mark of COVID-19 and quarantine stuff. Like, you probably assume that we won't be in full quarantine by then, but who knows? Maybe there will be some lingering restrictions. Like, the type of event that a homestand is like the very last sort of event that's going to start happening again, right? Like, a lot of people together in one place for an entertainment event. Like, that is like the last thing that will be opened up as far as, you know, mitigating the impacts of COVID-19. So if we're there yet, like, which I mean, I think we'll be, but like, I'm so far from actually knowing anything about that situation and actually being able to make good predictions. I'm just like everyone else, just like, let's see what happens, because it's, you know, experts decide that, not me, certainly.
Right. Well, so, and I mean, even
hopefully
Blizzard,
we see both.
Yeah, well, and even Blizzard is still, you know, reacting to the threat of the COVID-19 BlizzCon was just recently canceled, which isn't until November, which is still a few months off. So it very well could end up stretching into the next season. You know, Stephanie asks a similar question, asking, what do you think the future of the league is for the upcoming seasons? Do you think we'll return to having homestands again once everything is somewhat normal and the tournament format will continue? And I think that if we look to the sister league of the Overwatch League, the Call of Duty League, the way that they do their sort of, you know, small tournaments here and there where everyone shows up to one hometown to be able to play through it, is definitely an interesting way in a direction that the Overwatch League could go. But with the way that they're doing tournaments now, with both the May Melee and now the upcoming Summer Showdown, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show, I think that being able to do homestands for the first 3 weeks of the seeding is definitely something that could still go forward. And then maybe, you know, if they reopen something like the Burbank Studio, having sort of a central location where for the tournament everyone comes back to could also be a way for them forward as well.
Yeah, you know, like, it's pretty easy to imagine, like, because I think COD has been pretty successful with those tournaments, pretty easy to imagine something similar being implemented in Overwatch League. I don't know exactly what the logistics of it would be, but to me, it's like, if you're the team that gets to be the homestand for the tournament, that's, like, an even bigger win than just being a regular homestand. That's, like, even more cool. So I like the idea of continuing the tournament format. I think it's so important to have those goals to strive for in the middle of the season, like beyond just getting a better win rate, getting more map wins, like grinding your way towards playoffs. That's such a long-term goal that I think it's good to have those medium-term moments to get excited and to see how teams are currently faring in a playoff environment. Like I just think those are really exciting and really entertaining. So hopefully we'll still be able to do that. I'll still be able to see more of that, because I think that's been of this season, probably been the biggest win of the whole season has been the tournament format. So I have to imagine, like, in some way it'll be back. It probably will look different, just like the whole world is going to look different after quarantine is over and, you know, we're kind of transitioning back to a new normal. Then, you know, who knows exactly what that'll be like. But, I agree with the theme of these questions that, like, I hope it still exists, because I think it's been super fun to cast the tournaments and watch them as a fan.
Well, I mean, and it gives a lot of the lower seeded teams, the lower ranked teams, a chance to make up as well. I mean, even the fans get behind that. You know, during the May Melee, I even saw Boston fans starting to get hyped. I mean, it didn't last long, but, you know, they'll take what they can get. Yeah. L Law here says, do Overwatch League players only scrim, or do you train some things separately in other ways? If yes, what things do you train and how?
Oh, this is a great question. I really like this question. The first thing I would say about other things to train is use just ranked, like the way everyone plays Overwatch, playing each queue ranked, because that's a great way to like play Overwatch, practice your role. Yes, it's going to be more chaotic because you don't have like organized teams and there's a lot of randomness in ranked, but at the same time, it's still the best way to practice outside of scrims, outside of matches, is just playing ranked. Aside from that, there are a lot of like training, like true training things that you can do. One example is, like, probably I think a ton of Overwatch League players, if not everybody, maybe just DPS players, actually. I don't know about tank and support, but for sure DPS players play a lot of, like, FFA DM in the custom servers, where you, like, ban certain heroes like Brig and Roadhog that kind of screw up the FFA style, but, you know, Reinhardt and the things that just don't really make sense in an FFA environment. But for practicing DPS and even a lot of the more active supports, I think those are really, really great things to do. Play Deathmatch, play, like, Widowmaker, headshots only, those like training modes kind of are a really great way to like warm up, just grind your skills on aiming on a certain hero, fighting in you know, 1v1 skirmishes and with a few random players around. It's like just good practice. And then if you go even deeper than that, a lot of players do also practice against bots. For something like Tracer, there's a very mechanical level to just being able to blink, turn around, and pulse bomb like all at once, to get that 180 stick or 90 degree sticks and stuff. So a lot of, especially Tracer players, probably Genji is a similar one where you can practice your dash combos on just bots, like bots with a lot of HP, and you make the pulse bomb charge really fast. Those are a great way to actually practice those heroes and to just grind it out. You know, you play for 15, 20 minutes, just sticking bots constantly, blinking around, you know, pulse bombing bots, actually will help you a lot in terms of just really getting your muscle memory as precise as it can be.
Jacob asking, since you just spoke a little bit of Genji there, he goes, how will the recent buffs and nerfs affect team comps? Will Genji see any play? And I think he's specifically talking about what we're currently seeing on the experimental card.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are pretty exciting buffs to Genji. They change some crucial thresholds on the way Genji can burst down kills. For example, if you hit the triple headshot melee, that is a one-shot now on supports or on 200 HP heroes, so that's a pretty big deal compared to doing like 180 or whatever it did before, which was nice, but then you have to dash or you have to somehow finish it off, and it's a big difference in Overwatch, being able to finish something on your own or needing help. So it's definitely a big buff. The spread decrease on the right click, also a big buff. Overall, these are really, really significant buffs to Genji. And I like that they're targeting his default state rather than targeting the blade, which Nano Blade actually has never been a bad ability. But the problem is really Genji's default state. It has been so weak that you don't really do anything until you get Nano Blade, and then the other team just gets really far ahead while you're in that slow farming state. And unless the Nano Blade is completely crazy, it's just not enough. So I like these buffs. I don't know if Genji will see play. I think it depends a lot. Actually, Brig is out of the pool, right? That's actually That's actually unbelievably massive for Genji. So if Genji is buffed and also Brig is out of the pool, I think it's actually very possible that we might see Genji play it. Like, Brig is really the hero that just destroys Genji, because not only does Rally, it's good enough to counter the Nano Blade. Like, it keeps people alive long enough to stun Genji. Like, Brig herself can just stun Genji and peel him off, and then very hard to finish kills on Nano Blade. But, yeah, so I think without Brig in the pool, that hero really punishes Genji, really makes it hard to get kills, and you get buffs to Genji. I think it's actually very, very possible we could see Genji see play. I do think double shield will probably still be more prevalent with like more spam-based DPS, but I definitely think teams that like to play dive, if those Genji buffs go live, I think there's no reason people won't play Genji.
All right. Well, speaking of the hero pool, we're actually going to get to that next. We got, again, a ton of questions that we didn't get to, but we're going to go ahead and hold those in the backlog. And the next time we decide to do this segment, you'll have a chance to get some of your questions in there as well. But coming up, we're going to talk about the forthcoming Summer Showdown, the next tournament for the Overwatch League.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.